Good morning and welcome, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg is under the weather. Go figure. I toughed it out all week. Greg gets a sniffle. He's in bed. Hope you feel better, Greg. Doug Clifford is manning up and coming in and taking care of business, and we appreciate it. All right, so here we are. It's 6:08. You are tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. DNC party time, Chicago riots, and all kinds of buffoonery could take place. Yeah, it's happened in Chicago before. That is true. There's a lot of other things happening as well. The Republican-led House committees leading the impeachment probe into Joe Biden concluded Monday that the president engaged in impeachable conduct by helping to enrich his family with millions of dollars in business schemes that traded on his name and then defrauded voters by lying to cover up the scandal. The House Oversight Ways Means Judiciary Committee said that they believe the evidence from their 9-month investigation establishes that Biden abused his office and violated his oath under the Constitution, according to the 291-page report reviewed by Just the News. First and foremost, overwhelming evidence demonstrates that President Biden participated in a conspiracy to monetize his office, a public trust, to enrich his family. The committees concluded in the report released that Biden was to be honored at the opening of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. Yeah, so he's supposed to be honored. This information just, you know, flowing forward. But in the end, what does it mean? Okay, let's just say, look, do I believe that there's been activity here that crosses the line into impeachable offenses? Absolutely. Absolutely believe that. Will they connect or collect enough evidence that'll show, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt that, yeah, this is what's taking place? I mean, remember, they're really moving money around. They're hiding money. And anybody who would look at that would say, yeah, there's something not right going on. But that's still a far cry from proving it. And then the other thing is at the end of the day, even if all the ducks line up and everybody agrees, yeah, I mean, look at this. You can't deny it. There's still going to be the old idea that, well, he's an elderly man with a poor memory. I mean, that's what they utilized to get him out of the whole document case, right? Elderly man. A memory. But here's the thing. They've got to get it done. They've got to punish him if he's found guilty. They've got to get it right, because there has to be consequences for these actions. For too long, people in power have been getting away with way too much. And it'll never slow down. And even if they do, and even if they make a great case, and even if they penalize him in some way, shape, or form, that still you're going to have bad people doing bad things lining their pockets, yes. But will it give them some second thoughts about their ability to get away with it? You hope there's a little bit of a deterrent there. We'll see. Among other aspects of this conspiracy, the Biden family and their business associates received tens of millions of dollars from foreign interests by leading those interests to believe that such payments would provide them access to and influence with President Biden. The report puts a finishing touch on a scandal that began in 2019 during the advent of the last presidential election, but it's unlikely to result in a formal impeachment since Biden has stepped down, basically, and handed over the reins of the Democratic Party to the Vice President, Kamala Harris. The committee cited evidence that Biden actively participated in an influence-peddling conspiracy by attending dinners with his family's foreign associates and speaking to them over the phone. These interactions were documented by email evidence and testimony from several of Hunter Biden's ex-business partners, including Devon Archer and Jason Galanis. Again, okay, so what's going to happen before this even moves forward? I mean, it's not going to impact the election one way or another because he's not on the ballot. Is it going to somehow rub off on Kamala? No, this whole Biden thing always seemed to be a Biden thing, you know, not the whole group, not the whole administration at all. Because then, you know, he'd have to share. And part of being greedy is you don't want to share. But no, I don't think it's going to impact Kamala or the election. Other than to say, maybe it would help some people who are kind of on the fence or whatever to realize that, look, when Trump says it was a witch hunt, they were out to get me, look at how unscrupulous these people are. Now, that should make it just a little bit easier for some people to believe. I mean, I know the case. I know that's what's been going on. But, again, we're talking about voters with various amounts of, information. So maybe this will help to paint a more effective picture of saying, you know, all this pointing fingers and stuff. I told you right from the get-go. It's what the Dems have been good at, pointing the finger and telling you what they are. Mm-hmm. All right. The big time in Chicago kicking off. Already there's problems. Pro-Palestinian protesters clashing. More information coming up. Plenty more to talk about. Let's make Monday great. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy Monday. Let's make it great. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Top stories. The DNC, the convention, kicks off today in Chicago. And also, House Oversight, Ways and Means, and Judiciary Committees have released a 291-page report that, well, it reflects very, very poorly on Joe Biden. Abuse of his office, conspiracy using his office, basically to make money. Part of the family business. Will this thing have teeth? Will it really matter? That remains to be seen. It's not going to have any impact on Kamala. It's a Biden thing, from what I can gather. So what else is going on? Well, it seems that the pro-Palestinian protesters were out in force after Vice President Kamala Harris had a little rally, a little get-together in New York City, and apparently they stormed an after-party. In video footage, demonstrators were seen lining the street. And apparently New York City Mayor Eric Adams was there. You set Palestine on fire, one of them said. How dare you? Another one chimed in. The video footage captured anti-Israel protesters creating a ruckus, setting off smoke bombs. Harris's faced protesters at previous campaign stops, shouting them down as they interrupted the event. Well, there's probably that, those are just dry runs or big practice for what's going to unfold in Chicago. Possibly. Because this begins today, Democratic National Convention, and everybody will be traveling to Chicago, all the Democrats, all the news folk, and to witness the party's official presidential nomination of Vice President Kamala Harris. It'll be held at the United Center in Chicago. It'll run through Thursday, when Harris will formally accept the nomination with her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Anti-Israel protesters are expected to demonstrate outside the event, opposing the Biden-Harris administration's support for Israel in its nearly 11-month war with Hamas in Gaza. The DNC said the party will celebrate the record of the Biden-Harris administration and chart a path for the future. But the story is far from over. The party says at the convention, Democrats will come together to build on our progress, lay out what's at stake in the election, and unite around our shared values of democracy and freedom to create a future for all Americans. A future that you will conform to by force, because that's kind of how they want things these days. Not a lot of debate. In fact, you had Kamala calling President Trump a coward. Yeah, basically calling him a coward. So he's a coward, but you're the one who won't do any press conferences. And this announcement of Biden not being the candidate came some weeks ago. So I don't know if you really want to go there, do you? You want to call the name? You want to do that? Because all it's going to do is just bring more attention to the fact that you seem to be a bit afraid to talk to the media straight up. Here's the deal. VP Harris, Sunday, appeared to label Trump a coward. This was a stop in Pennsylvania. Speaking to a crowd of staff, volunteers, and supporters at a campaign field office in Beaver County, just outside Pittsburgh, she contrasted her leadership style with that of Trump, who's long been known for his in-your-face campaign rhetoric, including insulting his rivals. And he's flamed the politics of division. Quote, this campaign is about a recognition that, frankly, over the last several years, there's been this kind of perversion that has taken place, I think, which is to suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down. When what we know is the real and true measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you lift up. Then apparently pointing toward Trump without mentioning her presidential election rival by name, Harris said, anybody who's about beating down other people is a coward. Well, look, you say you want to lift people up. How are you going to do that? And why would you be afraid to answer questions about exactly how you would do that? And by the way, she said for years there's been this kind of perversion that has taken place. Somebody who was in this administration saying a perversion has taken place, but she's talking about on the Republican side, or in this case, maybe directly at Trump, but it's no perversion what they want to teach kids in school at very young ages. It's not a perversion that they want to allow them to have a radical disfiguring and surgeries to change who they are forever. That's not a perversion. Okay. Allowing 8 to 12 million people to come into this country, many of whom we don't know who they are. That's a perversion of the law. That's pretty perverse. So, again, she wants to call somebody a coward, not show up and do a simple press conference. And then she wants to say this, you know, the way Trump talks about is a kind of perversion. Not sure you really have strong ground to stand on there. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And good morning, Jen. What's on your mind?
Good morning. About perversion, I heard something. I think she was in New Hampshire. She was talking about the swipe of a pen when she was the DA. And how a swipe of a pen, she says, I could charge somebody even with a low-level crime. She goes, and it could affect their job. It would affect them financially. They'd have to get an attorney. She goes, they might lose their job. They might spend a tiny bit of time in jail. She goes, and then I could drop it. You know, a month later, she goes, but the damage is still done. She goes, and I understood the swipe of a pen. So to me, that's a tyrant to abuse, and it's a perversion of the law to do it. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah. I just think, you know, she should go out and do press conferences and explain if there's any differences between, you know, what the Biden administration was all about. I mean, she's done an about face on several different issues. And I guess maybe if she thinks she can spread the time table out and stretch it a little bit, people go, oh, well, she's for fracking. Well, that's cool. But no, she's always been against it. Very strong, never tap danced around it. Absolutely against fracking. That's just one example. Then she heard Trump said, we're not going to tax tips. All of a sudden, well, she jumped on that. Well, that's a great idea. I think people, young voters especially, it's going to resonate with them. Yeah. All right. We'll continue to go at it. The U.S. tops AI ranking index. Three times the investment as China and anybody else. Will this come to fruition? Will this be a good thing in the end? Or in the interim? We'll talk about that and more coming up. It is 6:28. We know you're busy. We want to make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcast. Have every minute, every issue on demand, one place. Now on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast, just hit subscribe. Good morning and welcome, my friends. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. It is, let's call it 6:39. All right. We've got plenty to talk about. It is a Monday. We're going to make Mondays great. Democrat National Convention kicks off in Chicago today. I would imagine there's going to be maybe some fireworks inside, but there's definitely going to be some outside. There's, anti-Israel protests are going to be taking place for sure. And also, one of the big stories is House Oversight, Ways and Means, and Judiciary Committees have released a 291-page report that's, pretty scathing against Joe Biden, the so-called family business. He was peddling influence, etc. I mean, that's the short gist of it. But will anything really come from it? I mean, he's stepping down anyway. You talk about a lame duck. I mean, he doesn't even have the energy to quack. All right, let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and talk to Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, my old friend Bob Rose. This is from Cape Canaveral, East Coast, listening to you, sir.
All right.
Hey, listen, I'm just an old military man that all I've got is God and country. And if this Presidente has made his fortune on selling out the country, it diminishes what I work for. And it leaves me at a loss. And we got this new Harrison coming up with communist economic structured ideologies. And, I just worry about my country and my children, how it's going to all work out, Bob.
Well, you share the same concerns that I do. I've got a little grandbaby boy that, if the good Lord is willing, is going to be coming in a couple of weeks, a few weeks, maybe 3 weeks. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And yeah, I'm concerned about the future. And you do. You have Kamala Harris in there, and she's talking about these Soviet-type things, price controls and all that. And to the uneducated, look, it sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, it's those corporations. They're all greedy. They're making a profit. Yeah, that's what corporations do. That's what a mom-and-pop business does. If they don't make a profit, they're not around. And they can't hire people if they're not around. And you don't have a place to buy something, say if it's a store or whatever, if they're not around. Well, let me ask people something here. Turn things around. I always like to say, eat the rich kind of mentality. Hate the rich fault. They got lucky. They cheated for their money. They inherited their money. All the statistics and all the numbers say that's not true, not in the majority of cases. So you want price controls. How would you like it? You work your whole life, and you save, and you're diligent, and you make your mortgage payments and all that. And when you're ready to retire and you're ready to downsize and you're going to need some of the equity that's in your home to live on, and because you've been there for years, you have built up a substantial amount of equity. How would you like it if the government came in and said, you know what? We've got a problem with housing in this country, and houses costing too much. So we're going to cap the price that you can sell your house for. Well, people would laugh, or if they were serious, they'd be outraged. Nobody, who would vote for that? Would you? No, nobody would. Why is that? Because you're going to get what your home is worth based on the market. If somebody's willing to pay for that, you should be able to get that. But people, for whatever reason, when you talk about this nameless, faceless corporate thing, that none of those other parameters or anything else seem to be important. But you've got to bring it back home. You want price controls? Let's, yeah. Someone tells you what you can, I'm sorry. And then what you can maybe rent a property that you worked hard to get and everything. You go, you know what? You can't charge that much for rent. Well, if I don't charge that much for rent, I'm not sure if there's repairs that need to be done and other things that it's going to be a money-making thing. Oh, well, that's not our problem. We're the government. We're just here to squash that. That's not how the government's supposed to operate. But you can wield it like that. That's one of the things that the Founding Fathers tried to prevent from happening. All right. So, yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Dave from Cape Canaveral. It is Monday, and we do have plenty to talk about. But the big news, obviously, is going to be today. The Democrat National Convention opens up in Chicago. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Nanette Holt. Remember her from Epoch Times? She always has some insightful stuff to share with us about the goings-on. So we'll dig into that. And you never have to miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show on demand 24/7. Subscribe to the Bob Rose Show podcast on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It is 6:45. Let's make Mondays great. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. We're going to make it great. Even though it's Monday, we're going to pump you up. It's the Bob Rose Show. Thank you for tuning in. It is 6:49. Yeah, 6:49 right now. Enjoy, enjoy. Hey, look, we're talking football, the cool weather. Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I've got this kind of funny Thanksgiving story I'll share with you in just a little bit. But more serious things are going on. Yep. You've got some polls out. I'm going to get to that. Yeah, you know what? Let me do that right now. Interesting. Vice President Kamala Harris heads into her nominating convention this week by leading former President Donald Trump in a head-to-head matchup. That's right. 51-45, according to a recent ABC News poll. This is among likely voters. 51-45. How does that happen? Is it? Good morning and welcome, my friends. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. It is, let's call it 6:39. All right. We've got plenty to talk about. It is a Monday. We're going to make Mondays great. Democrat National Convention kicks off in Chicago today. I would imagine there's going to be maybe some fireworks inside, but there's definitely going to be some outside. There's, anti-Israel protests are going to be taking place for sure. And also, one of the big stories is House Oversight, Ways and Means, and Judiciary Committees have released a 291-page report that's, pretty scathing against Joe Biden, the so-called family business. He was peddling influence, et cetera. I mean, that's the short gist of it. But will anything really come from it? I mean, he's stepping down anyway. You talk about a lame duck. I mean, he doesn't even have the energy to quack. All right, let's go to the Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and talk to Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, my old friend Bob Rose. This is from Cape Canaveral, East Coast, listening to you, sir.
All right.
Hey, listen, I'm just an old military man that all I've got is God and country. And if this Presidente has made his fortune on selling out the country, it diminishes what I work for. And it leaves me at a loss. And we got this new Harrison coming up with communist economic structured ideologies, and you know, I just worry about my country and my children, how it's going to all work out, Bob.
Well, you share the same concerns that I do. I've got a little grandbaby boy that, if the good Lord is willing, is going to be coming in a couple of weeks, a few weeks, maybe 3 weeks. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And yeah, I'm concerned about the future. And you do. You have Kamala Harris in there, and she's talking about, you know, these Soviet-type things, price controls and all that. And to the uneducated, look, it sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, it's those corporations. They're all greedy. They're making a profit. Yeah, that's what corporations do. That's what a mom-and-pop business does. If they don't make a profit, they're not around. And they can't hire people if they're not around. And you don't have a place to buy something, say if it's a store or whatever, if they're not around. Well, let me ask people something here. Turn things around. I always like to say, you know, eat the rich kind of mentality, you know? Hate the rich fault. They got lucky. They cheated for their money. They inherited their money. All the statistics and all the numbers say that's not true, not in the majority of cases. So you want price controls. How would you like it? You work your whole life, and you save, and you're diligent, and you make your mortgage payments and all that. And at, you know, when you're ready to retire and you're ready to downsize and you're going to need some of the equity that's in your home to live on, and because you've been there for years, you have built up a substantial amount of equity. How would you like it if the government came in and said, you know what, we've got a problem with housing in this country and houses costing too much, so we're going to cap the price that you can sell your house for? Well, people would laugh, or they, if they were serious, they'd be outraged. Nobody, who would vote for that? Would you? No, nobody would. Why is that? Because you're going to get what your home is worth based on the market. If somebody's willing to pay for that, you should be able to get that. But people, for whatever reason, when you talk about this nameless, faceless corporate thing, that none of those other parameters or anything else seem to be important. But you've got to bring it back home. You want price controls? Someone tells you what you can, I'm sorry, and then what you can maybe rent a property that you worked hard to get and everything. You go, you know what? You can't charge that much for rent. Well, if I don't charge that much for rent, I'm not sure if there's repairs that need to be done and other things that it's going to be a money-making thing. Oh, well, that's not our problem. We're the government. We're just here to squash that. That's not how the government's supposed to operate. But you can wield it like that. That's one of the things that the Founding Fathers tried to prevent from happening. All right. So, yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Dave from Cape Canaveral. It is Monday. And we do have plenty to talk about, but the big news obviously is going to be today. The Democrat National Convention opens up in Chicago. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Nanette Holt. Remember her from Epoc Times? She always has some insightful stuff to share with us about the goings-on. So we'll dig into that. And you never have to miss a minute of the Bob Rose Show on demand 24/7. Subscribe to the Bob Rose Show podcast on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It is 6:45. Let's make Mondays great. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. We're going to make it great. Even though it's Monday, we're going to pump you up. It's the Bob Rose Show. Thank you for tuning in. It is 6:49. Yeah, 6:49 right now. Enjoy. Hey, look, we're talking football, the cool weather. Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I've got this kind of funny Thanksgiving story I'll share with you in just a little bit. But more serious things are going on. Yep. You've got some polls out. I'm going to get to that. Yeah, you know what? Let me do that right now. Interesting. Vice President Kamala Harris heads into her dominating convention this week by leading former President Donald Trump in a head-to-head matchup. That's right. 51 to 45, according to a recent ABC News poll. This is among likely voters. 51 to 45. How does that happen? Is it really the charisma of Kamala versus Joe? That could be part of it. Like, anything is better than Joe in terms of, you know, breathing, walking, you know, articulating and stuff. I'm not picking on him. That's just a fact. Anybody is going to look better than him. But is anybody paying attention to the policy? Kamala was just as into the open border thing as anyone else. I'm going to try not to do that whole, well, she was the border czar, but I knew that was fake to begin with. That was to take pressure off of Biden, act like she's doing something, and that way the people don't keep yammering on about the border, because they figured that Fox News was the only one really reporting, and talk radio. So they figured, you know, look, we can stonewall that for a while. We can deny it for a while. And then, look, we're desperate. Let's call Kamala the border czar. Oh, yeah, that'll get him. And then we'll keep her busy for a while doing that. Well, most of us knew it was fake. We knew it was. She wasn't given any power to do anything. So I'm not going to use that, well, she was the border czar. But I'll say this, she was every bit as much in favor of open borders and said so way before she had to answer to Joe Biden or anyone else. So that's her nature. She was for the open borders. So, I mean, of course she wasn't going to do anything to stop it, and she wouldn't be allowed to do anything to stop it. But see, that hasn't changed. That's my point. The policies haven't changed. And people and all these other numbers, who do you trust with the economy? You know, Trump wins. Who do you trust with, you know, world affairs and stuff? Trump wins. What about our military? Trump wins. I mean, Trump leads in all those polls. What about the economy? Trump wins. But when you actually just do a poll on who you're going to vote for, and not that I believe this, but I believe it in part to where there's a lot of people that can admit that they might be better off under Trump, but they just can't vote for him. I guess. I'm trying to think of any other reasons. Now, Trump does retain, like I said, the upper hand on the two of the top election issues, the overall economy and inflation. And also leads on a third, immigration, of course. But overall, even when you consider the issues, there still must be plenty of people that think that Trump would be the better pick, that the country would be better off with him, but aren't going to choose him anyway, even though they would admit it. That's odd to me. All right. Harris and Governor Walz lead Trump and Senator J.D. Vance by 50 to 45 among those now registered to vote. It's 49-45, a slight Harris advantage given sampling tolerances. Harris has a 6-point lead among likely voters, 51 to 45. And that is, I don't know if you call it interesting. Some say, oh, well, the polls are fixed because that's going to prepare us for another big, election fix. The fix is in. Well, I believe, yeah, the Democrats will do anything they can to maintain and expand on power. I don't have any doubt about that. But how fixed the polls are, I don't know. The whole idea of the sampling, random sampling thing. I mean, if you have a bunch of polls and then you do the, you know, kind of the mixture of mall, was it real clear politics does one, then maybe you get a little bit. But I think there's a lot of people that, quite frankly, aren't always honest with the polls or claim they intend to vote. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Here's what I do know. AI is going to take care of everything. Yeah. I'm being snarky. The U.S. topped another study that looked at the fastest developing artificial intelligence industries in the world, according to a new report. AI technology is advancing rapidly worldwide. This is according to Zero Bounce. Zero Bounce founder and CEO, Levu Tanas, said about the report, "This is driven by significant private investments and a growing number of AI startups. Over the past decade, billions have been invested, and we see a substantial increase in AI-related job opportunities and innovation. Companies are developing skilled AI workforces to stay competitive." Well, what do you mean? What's skilled AI workforce? What does that mean? AI is going to supplant the workforce, at least to some extent. Isn't that the aim? Isn't it? But again, this is going to turn out to be just like, the computers. And when I say computers, I mean, like the PCs and the internet. There'll be some very good and valuable things that could come from it. But it's not going to be all that they sell you. And it's not going to be without its issues, problems, and glitches. And already, some in Wall Street have dialed it back. It was a Goldman Sachs dialed way back on their projections relating to and utilizing AI. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. It's Monday. We're making it great. And you're tuned to News Talk 97.3, The Sky. We're going to make it great. Even though it's Monday, we're going to pump you up. It's the Bob Rose Show. Thank you for tuning in. It is 6:49. Yeah, 6:49 right now. Enjoy. Hey, look, we're talking football, the cool weather. Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be Thanksgiving. And I've got this kind of funny Thanksgiving story I'll share with you in just a little bit. But more serious things are going on. Yep. You've got some polls out. I'm going to get to that. Yeah, you know what? Let me do that right now. Interesting. Vice President Kamala Harris heads into her nominating convention this week by leading former President Donald Trump in a head-to-head matchup. That's right. 51-45, according to a recent ABC News poll. This is among likely voters. 51-45. How does that happen? Is it really the charisma of Kamala versus Joe? That could be part of it. Like, anything is better than Joe in terms of, breathing, walking, articulating and stuff. I'm not picking on him. That's just a fact. Anybody is going to look better than him. But is anybody paying attention to the policy? Kamala was just as into the open border thing as anyone else. I'm going to try not to do that whole, well, she was the border czar, but I knew that was fake to begin with. That was to take pressure off of Biden, act like she's doing something, and that way the people don't keep yammering on about the border. Because they figured that Fox News was the only one really reporting, and talk radio. So they figured, look, we can stonewall that for a while. We can deny it for a while. And then, look, we're desperate. Let's call Kamala the border czar. Oh, yeah, that'll get him. And then we'll keep her busy for a while doing that. Well, most of us knew it was fake. We knew it was. She wasn't given any power to do anything. So I'm not going to use that, well, she was the border czar. But I'll say this, she was every bit as much in favor of open borders and said so way before she had to answer to Joe Biden or anyone else. So that's her nature. She was for the open borders. So, I mean, of course she wasn't going to do anything to stop it, and she wouldn't be allowed to do anything to stop it. But see, that hasn't changed. That's my point. The policies haven't changed. And people and all these other numbers, who do you trust with the economy? You know, Trump wins. Who do you trust with, you know, world affairs and stuff? Trump wins. What about our military? Trump wins. I mean, Trump leads in all those polls. What about the economy? Trump wins. But when you actually just do a poll on who you're going to vote for, and not that I believe this, but I believe it in part to where there's a lot of people that can admit that they might be better off under Trump, but they just can't vote for him. I guess. I'm trying to think of any other reasons. Now, Trump does retain, like I said, the upper hand on the two of the top election issues, the overall economy and inflation, and also leads on a third, immigration, of course. But overall, even when you consider the issues, there still must be plenty of people that think that Trump would be the better pick, that the country would be better off with him, but aren't going to choose him anyway, even though they would admit it. That's odd to me. All right. Harris and Governor Walz lead Trump and Senator J.D. Vance by 50 to 45 among those now registered to vote. It's 49-45, a slight Harris advantage given sampling tolerances. Harris has a 6-point lead among likely voters, 51 to 45. And that is, I don't know if you call it interesting. Some say, oh, well, the polls are fixed because that's going to prepare us for another big, election fix. The fix is in. Well, I believe, yeah, the Democrats will do anything they can to maintain and expand on power. I don't have any doubt about that. But how fixed the polls are, I don't know. The whole idea of the sampling, random sampling thing. I mean, if you have a bunch of polls and then you do the, you know, kind of the mixture of them all, what is it, Real Clear Politics does one, then maybe you get a little bit. But I think there's a lot of people that, quite frankly, aren't always honest with the polls or claim they intend to vote. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Here's what I do know. AI is going to take care of everything. Yeah. I'm being snarky. The U.S. topped another study that looked at the fastest developing artificial intelligence industries in the world, according to a new report. AI technology is advancing rapidly worldwide. This is according to Zero Bounce. Zero Bounce founder and CEO, Levu Tanas, said about the report, this is driven by significant private investments and a growing number of AI startups. Over the past decade, billions have been invested, and we see a substantial increase in AI-related job opportunities and innovation. Companies are developing skilled AI workforces to stay competitive. Well, what do you mean? What's skilled AI workforce? What does that mean? AI is going to supplant the workforce, at least to some extent. Isn't that the aim? Isn't it? But again, this is going to turn out to be just like, the computers. And when I say computers, I mean, you know, like the PCs and the internet. There'll be some very good and valuable things that could come from it. But it's not going to be all that they sell you. And it's not going to be without its issues, problems, and glitches. And already, you know, some in Wall Street have dialed it back. Who was it? Goldman Sachs dialed way back on their projections relating to and utilizing AI. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. It's Monday. We're making it great. And you're tuned to News Talk 97.3, The Sky.